If you have your Bibles tonight, let's turn to Luke 17:1. We're covering over the next 12 weeks together. We're going to be in talking about the bait of Satan, the bait of offense. And one of the most important things that happened in my life is when I understood this concept. Really helped me. Because I used to be a guy that take offense really easy. I was one of these guys, if you did me wrong, I remembered it for a long time. Anybody like that? I mean, if you did me wrong, talk behind my back, hurt me for a long... Let's all come together here in the middle. Can we do that? Can we do that? Because we're going to be discussing things. Is that all right? Yeah, it's all right. Everybody showered. You're going to be okay. You're going to be all right. That way, we're all together. I can remember the first time offense hit me really hard because I was in college. And I had a professor right at the end of class. I had a briefcase in those days, and I threw my briefcase up on my desk and unclicked it, threw it open, and started putting stuff away. And the class wasn't quite over. The professor hadn't quite got done talking, and I was right in the middle, and I guess I drew attention away from him to me. And he told me so. He said, Rick, why don't you stop doing what you're doing? That's rude. And you can wait. And boy, I thought, man, you shouldn't say that in front of everybody. You're making me look like a jerk. And so I left there in the heat of my anger. I wanted to resign school, believe it or not. Said I'm not going back to his class. I loved his classes, but so whenever I got where I could hear God again, because how many know in anger you can't hear God? And so when I got to a place where I could hear the Lord again, the Lord said he was right, you were wrong. And of course I argued with God, and when you argue with God, you lose. In case you were wondering. That may be revelation. We're going to have to probably get a couple more books, so I'll order some more books. Looks like we're already out. I under-ordered instead of over-ordered. So I've got one more up here. Who hasn't got a book? Laura? It's okay. If you haven't paid for it, we trust you, we know where you live. And if you can't afford it, don't worry about it. It was a love offering to begin with, so. I forgot where I was at. Yeah, I argued with God and I lost. At the end of that story is, I wrote a letter because the Lord told me to write the professor a note, so I passed a note to him the next class. I didn't have an apple, but I did have a note. And I said, thank you for correcting me, and I'm so sorry that I interrupted you, and please forgive me, and something like that. And it was about 2 weeks later, he got done with class, and he said, I just wanted to thank Rick for his humility in asking me forgiveness, and just turn the whole thing around. It became a lesson for the whole class. So I was the guinea pig, but... And so that began my quest of how to walk in forgiveness, because it's very hard to walk in forgiveness. Especially if we've got any kind of a memory at all. Some people don't have a memory. Most of us do. Most of us remember every bad thing. If we think about it, we remember bad things that happened. Come on, somebody. You can remember who did them to you. And we're going to be talking tonight about it's impossible that offenses wouldn't come, Jesus said in Luke 17. So offenses are going to come. Look at somebody and say, you're probably going to offend me someday. And if you're looking at your husband or wife, she or he already offended you many times. Now I want you to, I want to draw your attention to Luke 17:1. It's probably in your workbook. And I want to advise you, by the way, grab a piece of paper and take a bunch of notes because the workbook's set up to do some studies at home and we'll talk about it afterwards as well. But, Luke 17:1, then he said to the disciples, it is impossible that no offenses should come, but woe to him through whom they do come. And so John's going to cover that right away. But turn over to Matthew chapter 24, Matthew 24, verse 10. And we see how important this subject becomes to us. Matthew 24:10 says, and then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Now we see a crescendo here. We see a pattern here that begins to happen that we could see. We don't want to start down the path. And the first is, and then many will be offended. Now offense is one thing, but if we don't take care of offense, we betray. Now you say, I would never betray anybody, but listen, when you won't pray for somebody, when you have hate in your heart, you're betraying them and turning them over to the enemy. Come on, somebody. When you won't walk in forgiveness, especially to a brother or sister, you begin the path of betrayal. And betraying, I hope nobody's involved with that, but if you are, you need to repent because it goes on and we'll hate one another, and then lawlessness will abound. The end product is lawlessness will abound, and the love of many, and that love is agape, and we'll talk about it in tonight's lesson, that love is agape, that's God's love, will grow cold. How many know I don't want to go down that path? And so I don't want to be offended. And then one more scripture I'll share with you, and then we'll look at the video. Psalm 55. Verse 12, Psalm 55, verse 12, it says, for it is not an enemy who reproaches me, then I could bear it, nor is it one who hates me who has exalted himself against me, then I could hide from him. But it was you, a man my equal, my companion, and my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked in the house of God in a throng. So David understood somebody would be somebody that hurt him that was close. How many have ever had somebody very close to you hurt you? All of us. Look at the hands. We must walk in forgiveness. When you hear the expression taking offense, there's some things I want to draw your attention to. And John, if you ever read the book, he talks about 9 fruits, and here they are. Here is where offenses can happen. Number one is hurt. If you're taking notes, number one is hurt. Somebody's hurt you, said something about you. Maybe they didn't understand the situation. Maybe they're trying to spitefully hurt you. Number two is anger. When we get angry at somebody, we take offense. The third is outrage. Now, I might say something about that in today's day and age because we have people that are absolutely saying some things that are outrageous. How many are there? They're calling black white and white black. They're calling sin, you know, sin righteousness and righteousness sin. They're turning the whole thing upside down. It could cause outrage. We need to guard our hearts. God tells us to love our enemies. Hello. Jealousy is another one. Jealousy is something that, you know, well, they got blessed. How come I'm not blessed? Or they have more, why don't I have more? Resentment. Jealousy leads to resentment. We start to resent people. And that can boil into strife. Strife is, you know what strife is. Strife is you don't want to see anybody see the person that you're offended about. You don't want to see them anywhere. That's when we get artful. We get like the disappearing man. We juke down aisles. We make sure and not be in the same place at the same time with the person. And we get pretty good at that. Sometimes it's even in church. We don't want to be in the same group as that person. Bitterness. Bitterness leads to hatred. So bitterness and hatred and then envy. So let's look at this video session, this first video on the bait of Satan. If you're ready. What command did Jesus give that caused his disciples to respond with the plea, Lord, increase our faith? What did he tell the disciples to do? Forgive. Boy, just forgive once? Forgive seven times? 70 times 7. I want to know, what's that mean, 70 times 7? Is that like at 490, when I get to 490 times, I can just say, that's it? How many know what that means? That means daily. Now, if I offend you 490 times in one day, one of us has got a problem. We probably shouldn't walk too close together for too long if I'm offending you in that manner. And so if we took it literally, we would extrapolate, we would talk about other things. But what's the point Jesus was trying to make? Walk in forgiveness. Let me ask you a question. How many times have you asked God to forgive you and he said, I'm not going to do it? Never. And that's the kind of reflection we need, especially in these last days. We're going to need to understand what walking in forgiveness is. What's the word scandal mean? Anybody catch that? What's the word scandal mean? Offense. And what did he liken it to? What was the Greek word? What was the Greek word? Raise your hand. Scandalon. What's it mean? It's a bait stick. It's that which the animal will grab to be caught. I mean, no, we take the bait one too many times. Because the enemy will try to play with our minds and tell somebody that they're offended even when they're not. He said there's two kinds of offense. Those that know they're offended and those that don't know they're offended. Those that know are offended, we could do something about. But those that walk around with a chip on their shoulder and can never identify what that offense came from, that's a hard person to talk to. So what's the best way not to be offended? Forgive immediately. Because even if that person meant to offend you, forgiveness will short circuit, and convict them. If you walk in forgiveness, instead of buying the bait so that they can go down the path with that, and it starts with that and betrayal. And how many know many church splits would stop right away if we just walk in forgiveness? Anybody remember what John said about the first step in dealing with people who are offended? Help them come to their senses. How many know we've got to walk in truth with one another? If you catch somebody that's got a wrong tune, if they got a wrong attitude towards you, what's the first thing we need to do? Turn in Matthew chapter 18. Matthew 18. Matthew 18. It's page 826 for those of you who are looking for it. Matthew 18. Somebody read verse 15 through 20. You'll notice that he talks about walking in forgiveness, going quietly to your brother before he talks about two or three coming into agreement. Did you ever notice that? He talks about getting it straight before trying to get in agreement. And here's what usually happens when we come into a disagreement. Tom and I have had a disagreement. He offended me. And I go over here and I say, Don, I was with Tom. Man, can you, you got a second? I was with Tom and that guy said that, you know, I'm ugly. And he said it in front of my wife. And man, I'm upset. What do you think I should do?
Well, Rick, I think you should go talk to Tom about that and not talk to me about it.
Okay. So now that's good advice, right? Come on, somebody. That's good advice. So I go over to talk to Tom and I said, man, you know, you offended me. You called me ugly. You didn't really mean that, did you? Huh? Here, clean your glasses and look at me again. So what happens is now I've settled it with Tom, but I never go back and talk to Dawn about Tom. And Dawn has a wrong attitude about Tom. I'm okay. I went on. Dawn gave me good advice. What did I do? Did I follow Scripture?
No.
I didn't follow Scripture. I went and talked to him. Now he's involved in something he never wanted to be involved with. I've never went back and cleared the air. And he hasn't come back and asked me, did you clear the air? So he thinks Tom and I are still. And then when something else comes up, there's another offense and another offense. And pretty soon he's mad at Tom for no reason at all. I'm the ugly guy.
But we want people on our side, don't we?
Yes, we want to choose. We want to get everybody. We want to take a poll. We want everybody to say, hey, you don't think I'm ugly, do you? So we can go back and say to Tom, Tom, I just polled 10 people and they don't think I'm ugly. I think you're wrong. And then what's Tom do? Tom goes and gets his, and then pretty soon we've got a block party. And we've got people offended all over the place. If we would listen to what Scripture says. Because Jesus said in that passage, he said, many offenses will come, but woe to the one who causes the offense. So who caused the first offense? I did. I caused the real first offense because I didn't go to him silently and quietly. If we'd settle things quietly behind closed doors, don't make a big scene of it. Just take somebody to the side and say, look, man, I may have misunderstood. You hurt me. You said I was this or you said I was that. You were talking about me. I heard something. Is this true? Can we get this worked out? And then it doesn't go any further. Just you and the person and the Holy Ghost. And guess what? The Holy Ghost don't gossip. Now I've straightened that thing out. Nobody's the worse for the wear. In fact, my relationship with Tom is now even bonded closer because we've worked out a disagreement in the things of God. And he pours his grace upon us. And pretty soon, that kind of thing spreads. And God makes, in Matthew 18, Jesus makes a way, if Tom is going to be belligerent about it, and say, I don't care what you say. You are ugly. I don't care what you say. Get away from me and I'm going to tell everybody I know you're ugly. Now I've got to take some. Now I go and get Dawn. Now I involve Dawn. Or an elder of the church. I go get Steve Ulrey and I say, Steve, we've got to sit down and talk to this guy. Come on, somebody. What's this doing? This is, and we do it in love. We do it in respect. What are we looking for? Anybody know? Reconciliation and resolution. We want to resolve this issue. We want to nip it in its bud.
Clarification.
Now you got somebody involved because you couldn't work it out yourself. Now you don't just pick anybody to get involved. You don't want to pick somebody that's going to get ugly about it. Be smart. Somebody that you don't want to grab a novice, somebody that's just a new Christian and say, come help. You want to get somebody that's seasoned? What are we trying to do? We're trying to shortcut or short circuit offense. Anybody remember how John said he identified the people who can hurt and offend you the most? Who was it? The one closest to you. Husbands, look at your wife. Wife, look at your husband. That's who can offend. Man, that is why the divorce rate and the separation rate is as accelerated as it is. Because we can't talk. What's that, Bill? Don't want to work it out. We look at this thing as being friends. Now, how do we get along with church friends? And we don't ever take it home. My wife and I never let the sun go down on our anger. We just won't. Maybe we're old-fashioned, but we won't do it. If we got to stay up, we'll stay up and work it out. It's been a long time since we had to do that, but we make sure that there's no offense between her and I. Come on, somebody. How many raise children in here? How many know when you get children, you can get offense? Especially when you take sides. You know, the child knows very well how to put mom against dad, dad against mom. And pretty soon now, offense. And if we would work this with our family, see, same thing. If a child, even an adult child, offends us, we need to go to them quietly, not complain to our wife or our husband. Come on, somebody. If it works, it works all the time, even in close relationships. He talked about the expectation. My expectation for my family members ought to be way up here. But sometimes they don't meet those expectations. So who do I need to trust and have expectations for? Anybody know? The Lord. Here's where my expectation is. The Lord will never let me down. Has He ever let you down? How many have ever felt like He left you down? Yeah, there have been times. But guess what? He never has. And so those are the expectations we have. I can't get offended if I don't have high expectation for you. I realize that you are being worked on just like me. And even more so with our husband and wife. Those people who are closest to you and mean the most to you are also the ones who can hurt you the most. We don't expect people that are close to us to offend us, but sometimes they do. Everybody has a bad day. Come on, somebody. Let's look back in Luke chapter 17 just for a few minutes. Luke 17, and we'll read this whole passage. Somebody read 1 through 5, Luke 17, 1 through 5. If you're there, read that, please, loudly.
And He said to His disciples, temptations to sin are sure to come, but woe to the one through whom they come. It would be better for them planted in the sea, and it would obey you.
So what causes our faith to not be there? What causes our faith not to be there? Somebody say it. Offense. Exactly right. Our faith is not as strong as it should be because we walk around offended. That's the tie that Jesus puts here. Look at the progression. He says it's impossible that no offense should come, but woe to him through whom they do come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and were thrown into the sea. That's rather harsh. But he's trying to drive home a point than that he should offend one of these little ones. In other words, we should walk in forgiveness. Watch what he says. Take heed to yourselves. If somebody sins against you, rebuke them. Can I go through another scenario? We're not honest with one another. If somebody offends us, we need to go and say, you've offended me. Rebuke him. Rebuke means to correct in love. If I don't tell you right away and I let it build up to where I'm harsh and angry with you, now I've made an enemy instead of made a friend. We got thin skin and a thick heart. Too many times we allow things to boil and then we get mad at somebody and then it's impossible. You can't weed that out even if you were a genius. That's why we've got to stay current with one another. If I say something to offend you, you come and talk with me. And you rebuke me if you need to. You know, you were rude to me. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to. Yep, but you were rude to me. And I want to call that to your attention. Let's work this out. Let's pray together. Because I don't want to have an offense against you. You make a good point. You make a good point because we say we forgive and then a thought comes up that we didn't think about and we start to try to take offense again and we just walk in forgiveness all the time. Joe DiBenedetto. Joe DiBenedetto was one of the most cantankerous men I've ever met in my life. Joe was a member of the first church I pastored in New York. And when I started with the church, we had about 30 people. And he would sit right in the center, and he would fold his hands and shake his head. I would preach, and he'd go. Then he'd grab his eyes, and he'd go like this. He'd get down and hunker down and look away. He'd go like that if I made a comment. And I tried, I really tried, I tried to not see him. And I was a young pastor. I was a first congregation. And man, this guy would just, he was relentless. And 9 times out of 10, he would come up and correct me about something. He was an older gentleman. And he would come and he would correct me. Then, as time went on, he used to hand a tape to people. He'd pass out tapes arguing with the message that I spoke the week before. And he would be giving them to him behind my back. And people would come and talk to me. And they would say, you know, you said this, but Joe DiBenedetto gave me this tape from somebody else. And they said that. How many know I was offended? And the thing about Joe and I had long conversations in which he would usually browbeat me into submission because he was an older man and I was taught to always respect your elders. I was a pastor. I had a board, but I didn't have any elders. We were just building a church. And so I really tried, God. And every morning I'd get up, he'd be right there. He didn't sit over here. He didn't sit over here. He's right in the middle. And my peripheral vision, I could see him shaking his head. Now, if I would have taken offense to the point where I did, because I was offended at first, then God really began to deal with me, and I began to love Joe. I loved him enough that he left. Praise God. But my heart was clear when he left. Because I just love him. I said, Joe, I love you. He'd be one of the first ones I hugged, the last one I hugged when I was leaving. I just forced myself to love him. Now, did it change Joe's attitude? Absolutely not. He was always cantankerous. He was in a spirit-filled church, didn't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I mean, he was totally... But he got somebody that from the church previously had knocked on his door and he got saved. So he said, this is the church God sent me to, so I'm going to have to put up with y'all. But I learned a lot from Joe DiBenedetto. And I think of him often whenever I come across somebody that could easily offend me. And I learned to work that through. We have to learn to love one another. Because here's what it does. You see what it does? It puts the love of God on that person. It may not change that person, but there again, it may. It's changed many people because I just decided to love them. And it can end up a good story. We could have closeness. One of the people that are one of my first pastors that we had butted heads, man. But today, 30 years later, we talk almost once a month on the phone. And we love each other. If we had to be close to each other, we'd probably hurt one another. But we love one another and we pray for one another. He's a good, close brother. Yes, you had your hand up. Yeah, yeah. And one of the hardest things, just recently, I was just thinking about a guy that whose daughter was raped and killed by a guy that had raped and killed 15 or more people. And at the trial, they convicted him to life in prison without parole. And each person that came, they got a chance to face the person had killed their loved one. And each one, he would mock at them. He'd make faces at them. But one old guy came up with a beard. I could still see him. He came up and he said, you know, I've forgiven you. I want you to know God loves you. And that guy broke down and cried. He may have saved his soul. We never know. The power of forgiveness is a powerful thing. Anybody can hate. It takes a man, a woman of God to not hate anymore, to love. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Turn there and end up quickly here. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And a servant of the Lord, verse 24, I'll read that. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. So what happens? What happens to a servant of the Lord? What's it say we must not do? How many know when you see the word must, it's a commandment? We don't quarrel. It's quiet. See, we don't quarrel. We work it out. Quarreling means that we say hurtful things to one another. The scripture says, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. But what blesses the hearer? I'll tell you what, one of the people that's taught me a lot's my wife, man. If you offend her, you'd never know you offended her. She'd make sure and work it up in the conversation and just, you'd be loving her before she got to the end of the first sentence. I don't know how she does it. But we don't argue and we don't get ourselves in a place where there's, you know, I've heard stories about people getting in fights and arguing. Let me tell you what I do when I'm with a group of people and a fight starts. We stop right there. Okay, everybody just separate, go home, pray, we'll come back together. I mean, you need to work this out because you're not in the right attitude. Go take a walk and come back. Do something because we don't want to leave. Because how many know when you get angry, you say things that you don't mean because you want to hurt that person because you're hurt. Put a guard on your mouth. Put a guard on your mouth. That person may need rebuked, but they can be rebuked in love. Come on, somebody. And be rebuked in love. So he talks about a progression here. This passage mentions at least three transitional steps. Number one, repentance. And then coming to the knowledge of the truth and then coming to their senses. We want to pray for people that they may know the truth and come to their senses and get out of the snare of the devil. And we can coach them in that. We need to encourage one another. And I hope that you'll allow people to coach you through those times. Because if you haven't, you'll come to a time where you're angry. How many have been angry before? We just need to ask God to help us on this end. Too many times we get to that end where we've already offended, we're angry, we're mad. And you know what happens? We go to two churches, we go to three churches, and pretty soon we just say, everybody's offended me. I've been offended by pastor, I've been offended by people, I've been offended. I don't want to go to church anymore. Well, where did it start? It started back at the first time we were offended. And we didn't handle it correctly. And if we didn't handle it correctly, it's still there and it's still present. And it creates a foothold for the enemy. The enemy will come in on that offense and you'll, if you've not forgiven the first person and you're still offended, somebody's going to come along to tramp on that same offense. And then somebody else. And pretty soon, you're walking around with this huge chip on your shoulder and you don't know where it came from. We're talking serious stuff here, guys. I think John said it, this is not a game, this is real, because Jesus said, if you can't forgive those who you see, neither will my Father forgive you. So this is very important that we walk in that type of forgiveness. Let's look at one more scripture tonight. Let's look at one more scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians 10. I want to draw your attention to something that he didn't spend a lot of time on that we need to look at. 2 Corinthians 10, for though we walk in the flesh, verse 3, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. What are strongholds? What's the first stronghold mentioned? What's the first stronghold mentioned in verse 4? Casting down what? Imaginations. We imagine things, it becomes a stronghold to us. The worst words ever spoken are the words never spoken. We imagine somebody said something, or we read between the lines. We become expert at trying to figure people out. Well, Tom said he forgave me, and he said I'm a pretty good-looking guy, but I know what he means. He still thinks I'm ugly. Come on, somebody. We look at, we read between the lines, and we superimpose an imagination upon a person, and they're not like that at all. And we can destroy reputations like that. I had a friend that had a pastor friend that was ministering. He was in his office, and his secretary's office was right next door, and he was ministering to this woman, which he should have had a little bit of brains. But he was by himself in the office with the door open, his secretary right in the next room, and he was propositioned by this woman. And the woman walked around the desk and ripped her blouse and screamed. How many know what happened? He wasn't the pastor anymore. But the worse than that, everybody believed it. Because we want to believe bad things about people over good things. Believe the best. Love does what? Believes all things. So I believe that I believe the best in you. That man fell all the way back, got a divorce, lost his family, everything. Because nobody would believe that he was a man of integrity. You know how many stories can be told about that day in and day out? And if we don't know how to do it in the church, love one another in the church, what happens to the people on the outside? They say, I ain't getting involved with you guys. I said it before. I used to go to a bar and we'd get in fights. One Friday night, next Friday night, we're playing darts and hanging out. Still got a black eye. Hey, buddy, how you doing? In the church, though, we get offended and we never take care of the offense. So it says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. What do you think that means, the knowledge of God, in this passage? Against truth? What else? In this passage, what's it talking about? Anybody? I'm sorry? I can't hear you. The Word. It's talking about correctly dividing the word of truth. Casting down imaginations and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Our weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God. And we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We need to recognize the enemy. The enemy is going to try to conquer and divide every time. He doesn't want us to be. Because where two or three are gathered, he's in our midst. One puts 1,000 to flight. Two puts... How many like that math? But if we have offense, we don't trust one another. Our expectation level is way down here. I can't expect you to stand with me and be with me. That's why the church is in the shape it's in. You realize that in the end times, many will be offended. That means that That's one of the things that we got to guard our hearts against. The progression is marked by an increasing loss of an awareness of God's love. That begins with offense and then moves through betrayal, hatred, deception, lawlessness, and results in God's love growing cold. Godly love. And we get to a place of betrayal. And when we seek our protection or our benefit at the expense of one with whom I have a relationship with. The whole thing we talked about a couple Sunday mornings ago is washing each other's feet, is serving one another. So we just got to guard against it. Because many people have a smile on their face because they have an offense in their heart. Anybody remember what he said offense leads to? Leads to what? Proverbs 18:1. Leads to... leads to Proverbs 18:1. Don't guess, look at Proverbs 18:1. What's it lead to? Isolation. That's what it is. That's what it is. And what happens when we're by ourselves? What can the enemy do? Pick us off at random. He goes after the weak. He goes after the strays. He goes after the people that are outside. We know we need to embrace one another. Next week we're going to be talking about Joseph. Joseph basically asking the question, how in the world did I get here? Joseph asking the question, how in the world did I get here? How many know Joseph had to learn to forgive and not be offended? Come on, somebody. I've often thought about Joseph standing at the silos filled with grain. And Potiphar's wife coming and asking for grain. Or even Potiphar. Because everybody in the land had to come to Joseph. Can you imagine? If Joseph would have still been offended, he'd have had him killed. Or his brothers, yeah. Yeah. His own brothers betrayed him. This is so very important. I really prayed about this. I was going to actually do another teaching by John Bevere. But I really think this is so important in this hour. Because if we don't get it here, if we don't love one another with an everlasting love, with an agape love, we'll never love the world. Because man, the world gives us every excuse to be offended. Trust me. I listened to 10 minutes of the news this morning and was offended 3 times. Come on, somebody. I have to pray and keep my heart pure before God. Father, we thank you tonight for this wonderful introduction to the bait that Satan lays for us. Father, keep us. Lord, guard our hearts. Lord, you said that you would dwell in us, and you do. So, Father, just begin to peel back the onion skins of offense. If there's any offense here tonight, Lord, I pray for those. There may be somebody having a difficult time saying, I can forgive everyone else, but I can't forgive this person. Father, I pray that you would break through their heart. Lord, even as my brother said about taking and writing down people that have offended me, Lord, help my heart to be clear. I want to be just like you, Jesus. You never, ever asked me. You never told me that you'd never forgive me. You've always forgiven me and walked in that forgiveness. God, and I pray for healing in those that have been hurt so deeply. God, I pray that you would heal their heart, that they would walk in forgiveness and love. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. All right, God bless you.